If you have your Bibles, go to Proverbs chapter 24, Proverbs 24. When you get there, just shout glory. Proverbs 24. We're just going to talk this morning. Just want to have a conversation with you in the presence of God on this morning. And still dealing with, as you see behind us, 2015, the year of establishing.
Amen.
Amen. We thank God is visible to
Hallelujah.
You. And it's clearer, amen. And you can see that, those nine pillars behind you. But 2015, somebody say the year of establishing.
The year of establishing.
We walk out of 2014 and we say, man, I'm not done with the triple R's. Restoration. You understand? Recovery, refreshing. We still have things that God is still bringing back to us. And we said, man, how do we shift? And I'm still working. And we shared with you on Watch Night, it ain't over.
Right.
Amen. It ain't over. God is not moving in your life like your calendar moves.
Yeah.
He's not shifting pages and then everything starts over and what happened in the last year is done with. God says, I don't work with you like that. I don't work on chronos time. I keep trying to tell you I'm not tied up into chronos. I'm not into months, years, days, and weeks. God says, you know, you don't understand. A day with me is like 1,000 years. You
yeah.
understand? And so you don't know where you are in time with me. And so we, just because we say it's 2014, 2015, God says you really don't know what day or what time it really is, even in your own life.
Amen.
You understand an hour with God could be 15 billion years.
Yeah.
That our minds can't even catch up with that. And so when we look at science and when we tap into science and they begin to talk about the age of the earth and
yeah.
we try to equate how old the earth is and they tell us when we see light that we see is already dead and it's 15 billion years old and have already left the sun
yeah.
and it's still providing heat or
yeah.
radiation to us and to the earth and we think it's happening right now at that moment
right.
and at that instant and what you see is not even what you really see. It has already happened
yes.
15 billion years ago
yes.
and now it's manifesting in your life
yes.
at that moment that you look up.
Yes.
And you say, man, I can't wrap my mind around that. That's how big God
yes.
really is.
Yes.
We sit in this house, but our minds really can't grasp the enormity
mm-hmm.
of who God is,
mm-hmm.
that he can have the evening and the morning in the same day. And we get on a plane and fly, let's say, to Korea,
yes.
Japan, 12 hours difference, and we find it's nighttime already there. And you say, man, how is it night here? And it's just morning
mm-hmm.
over there in America, because the evening and the morning is the same day. He ain't working on American Standard Time, Eastern Standard
yes.
Time, Central Standard
yes.
Time, Pacific Time. That's for us to be able to organize our day, not to lock
yes.
God down in what he wants to do
yes.
in our life.
Yes, yes.
Come on,
but
come
babe,
on.
When God releases his word, we lock him down when we try to comprehend the word that's been released concerning our life, concerning our calling, concerning the will of God for our life. And when he releases his word and we try to comprehend it in the mind, what happens is his word bounces off. Because we'll never be able to comprehend the thoughts and the ways of God. So what he's looking for is not an open mind. He's looking for an open heart. Somebody better catch that. And when the heart is open, that's why we have to, first of all, when we dealt with what? The foundation of Christ in the year of establishing, the very first person we must receive into our heart, the very first being is Christ Jesus himself. And once we receive him into our heart, then our heart is able to remain open. Come on, y'all, to receive of the Father just as Christ received of the Father and say, not my will, not the ways I think I ought to go. Come on, not my will, but your will be done.
Your will, your will.
It's bouncing off the mind because he's looking for an open heart. Somebody just lift your hands and says, today my heart is open.
Today my heart
is open. It's bigger than what I can comprehend or understand. You better say it. Come on. It's bigger. It's bigger. But when my heart is open, somebody say, I can receive it.
I can receive it.
Hallelujah.
Amen. The mind is not capable of holding the things of God.
Not at all.
That's why he say, let this mind be in you. You understand? If you try to handle God in your mind,
right.
you can't even get the principles of calculus down.
Yeah. Yes.
You understand? You go back to school and get a statistics class, and you be like, this thing is blowing my mind.
Yes.
If stats blow your mind, imagine what the revelation, the real revelation, the power of God will do. You understand? And that's why we don't like to get close to him, because he began to transform or renew our minds, and he takes out that old mind that we got.
Yes.
And a lot of us sit up in church with old minds.
Yes.
Somebody say, hey, I'm just talking. We just talking.
God,
we got to get a new mindset when we come to God's house, because so many times we bring our mind to his house.
And you know what the mind of the children of Israel was? One of their mindset was that of complaining. Man, complaining caused them to wander around a wilderness for 40 years when God's word said, I have called you to enter into the promised land. One flowing with milk and honey. Watch this. A land where you not only get what you need, but you can receive all that you want and desire.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened with the children of Israel is their mindset was that of murmuring and complaining. And what, an 11-day journey? Took 40 years.
40 years.
We have to ask ourselves, what's taking me so long?
Yeah.
Because, see, we don't want to talk about the murmuring and the complaining that we do on the inside of us. That we don't even articulate, but we think in our mind. Come on, that's the playground of the enemy. And that's why we have to create a mind of Christ on the inside of our mind so that we can become like Christ and what? Humble ourselves.
Amen.
And say, not your will. I keep saying, not your will.
That's
Come
right.
on, not your will, but God's will be done. Somebody Amen. Say, I'm going to shut down complaining.
Shut down complaining.
So that I will not delay my progress. Say, I am entering, I have entered into the promised land. Amen.
Amen. Just touch somebody and tell them it ain't over.
It ain't over.
It ain't over.
It ain't over.
You're still going to pursue. You're still going to overtake. You're still going to recover all.
Yes, we are.
You're still going to be refreshed. Amen. Even coming into this year. So just because the calendar changes, just because the year changes, does not mean God has changed.
Not at all. Amen.
God is still the same. Ooh, if you're at Proverbs, as we're talking about this year of establishing, you can't establish with an old mindset. You
not
understand? You try to do new things with God with old mindsets and old thoughts. It won't be long before you start building on that old foundation again. Because your mind is like a hard drive on your computer.
Yes.
It stores files.
Yes.
And there are so many files that even when you begin to think about something new, your mind runs through the old stuff first.
Yes.
And you have to compare it to see if you're going to receive it or accept it. Before you do anything new, you run through a Rolodex of old stuff. Oh, yes. I done seen that before. I done heard that before. This is your establishing stuff. Oh, we done been down that road before.
Yes.
And you cancel it before you walk into it. And that's where most of us sit today. We sit hearing God trying to do a new thing, but we cancel it through our old mindset.
Wow.
Everything he's trying to say to us, we cancel it because we go back and we get an old reference.
Mm-hmm.
And we remind ourselves how it didn't work the way we thought it was going to work the last time. And so why am I going to waste my time trying to do this again? And so we find 2021 come and we'll still be talking about trying to do something that God said back in 2011.
Yeah. And through that old mindset of even complaining, because we always talk about, you know, it didn't work last time. Why am I going to do it again this time? We just presenting complaints to God. And in his eyes, that represents an ungrateful, unthankful, unappreciative individual. Why would he bless us with something when we stay in the state and mindset of complaining?
Hmm.
Amen. And so as soon as the children of Israel were able to, come on, well, let's put it like this. Many of them didn't even make it into the promised land. They got wiped out. Come on, the one that go into, Joshua and Caleb, who go into the, come on, the land and say, they didn't go in complaining, them some big people, we ain't, they giants, we not going to be able to handle that. The two that decide to go in and take the faith of God with them and say, oh yeah, we can conquer, we can take that land. Those are two of the individuals that made it into the promised land because they had a change of mindset. They didn't see things, come on y'all, the way everybody around them saw things. They saw things out of the eyes of God that says, I can do anything but fail. With Christ, all things are possible. I am more than a conqueror to him that is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
They Work see that. Out of the eyes of God. Come on,
Amen.
Say, I'm going to be a Joshua and a Caleb.
Going to be a Joshua and a Caleb. Look at this in Proverbs 24, Proverbs 24.
Amen.
And we're just going to walk through a couple of scriptures with you this week. God blessed us on last week to just be able to minister,
yes,
dealing with this establishing,
yes,
and starting at the foundation level, dealing with Christ and dealing, yes, with the bottom line of everything that Christ has done. You really can't build absent of Christ in the finished work of Calvary. If we try to build anything and Christ is not in it, it's already on sinking sand.
Amen.
It's already on sinking sand.
Amen.
And when the winds of time and the waves of time begin to hit it, it's going to have to crumble and have to fall because the foundation is not assured.
Amen.
And so last week we wanted to just make sure that you understand the foundation has to be assured. I don't care if it's RCC, UCC, LWCF. I don't care what it is, First Baptist, First Pentecostal.
Yes.
If the foundation, I don't care if it's your vision for your house,
yes,
and your business, if the foundation is not in Christ, that thing is, it might start out like it's flourishing, but as soon as enough rain and enough wind come, you're going to find that it's going to fall. It's going to crumble. So Christ got to be the first line in everything,
yes,
that we do.
Bottom,
look at somebody
bottom.
Tell him he got to be the bottom
the
line.
Bottom
he got to be the first
line
in everything that we,
yes,
do. Proverbs 24 and 3 talks about building. And hear me well, when we talk about building, we're not just talking about an institution or a church that we're going to be having services in. We're talking about building a body, building,
yes,
a person, and building a people. Proverbs 24 and 3 says, through wisdom is a house built. Through wisdom is a house built. Now, this word house here, when you look at house, you can put it in the context of family, or you can put it in the context of church. And so we often talk about church family, biological family, a house. My house, when I talk about my house, I'm not talking about the wood. I'm not talking about the bricks. I'm not talking about all of that stuff. That ain't my house. That thing is going to go away someday. If I move out of it for a couple of years, the roof will already start falling in and caving in, because the life is not in the material. The life is in the people that's dwelling in that place. You understand?
Amen.
You can come into a church full of people, but if no life is in them, it's a big gathering of dead folk.
Yes.
You understand? And so it's not the number, but when we talk about house, we're talking about the people that make up that family, or the people that make up that assembly or that ministry. Through wisdom is a house built, and by understanding it is established. Understanding brings order to that house. Pastor Vicky and I don't have to fight over who's in charge.
Amen.
And a lot of houses are going through turmoil on who's in charge. Was that house built through wisdom? That the mind of God speaking to that family? That does the Holy Spirit still have a voice in your house?
That's good.
Let me ask it that way. Does the Holy Spirit still have permission to speak into your house? Or has he been shut out and now you are the big dog on the block? What you say go now, and you don't consult with him. He consult with you to see if you want him to say anything.
Wow.
Through wisdom. Wisdom is sometimes looked at as,
wow,
through Christ, through Jesus. This word wisdom can be through Jesus. Through Jesus is the house built. By understanding the Holy Spirit. By the understanding is it established. The Holy Spirit communicates the mind of Christ. He communicates the person of Christ to us, because if you were there when Jesus was in the earth realm, raise your hand.
Not.
And nobody? So how did you come to know about him? You understand? He built the house before you ever came on the scene.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit brings,
yes,
you into understanding of what he's already built and established, so you know how to work in it or know how to be ordered or operate in it.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit, when we talk about order, we talk about order. The house is ordered. The house is ordered. We talk about where people sit.
Yes.
Man, you can sit on the roof.
Yes.
You understand? Mm-hmm. But look at this. Through Proverbs 24:3, through wisdom is a house built, and by understanding is it established. Look at this, Pastor Vicky, mm-hmm, before you jump with me. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 9, verse 1 and 10 gives us some clarity here.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 1 and verse number 10. I want you to read the middle ground before when you go home.
Amen.
Proverbs 9, 1 and 10. Look at this. Proverbs 9, 1 says, wisdom has built her house. Look at this. Wisdom has built her house.
Amen.
She hath hewn out her seven pillars. We got nine behind you, but he says she has hewn out her seven pillars. Why they got them pillars up there? There ain't no pillars got nothing to do with nothing. I'm about to show you in your word, but he deals with seven of them. He says, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. But watch verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You got to know who wisdom is before you can start building. Amen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. And baby, herein lies the problem. Too many of us don't fear the Lord anymore.
Right.
We ain't got no reverence or no timidity of who he is. And so we can come before him any kind of way, living any kind of life, acting any kind of way, saying anything we want to say, and then bow down before him with no reverence or fear of who he is. And we say we are wise.
Because we talked about one day competition, and today I mentioned complaining, but here in Pastor Charlie, I'm sensing compromise.
Compromise.
We compromise. Why is okay to do what we're gonna do when we know it's not meeting, come on, the holy standards of the word? So somebody say we compromise. Well, I can do this and I can do that, and I can find a scripture to watch this support why I want to do what I do.
I can get one.
But the last time I checked, it said, let no unclean thing enter into this temple, because this temple, not this temple, but this temple is, come on, it's the temple of God. Hmm. And if God is resting, ruling, and abiding on the inside, even in this spiritual maturity series we hit on, we end up suppressing the spirit of God through the things that we take in. And that's where this fast comes into play. Pastor Charlie lifted up our private home and then the corporate home. That's why on Sundays and Saturdays, come on, we're asking the body of Christ to what? Pray and fast and decree, come on, concerning your private home. Because it's not until your private home prosper that the body of Christ and the corporate setting of God will prosper and flourish. Huh. It's not going to prosper and flourish with broke, busted, and disgusted people sitting in the pews. And so Sundays and Saturdays, we're covering the corporate. Come on, the corporate isn't even covering the private on this fast. The private and what God is speaking to us as an individual temple is going to be what surrounds this corporate fast. That's why we're doing something new.
Come on.
And God is commanding us to do this new thing. Amen?
That new thing. Look at that. Look at that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
It is not all of wisdom.
Right.
It's the beginning.
It's the beginning.
But if
you
don't have that reverence and that fear, you haven't even got started yet.
Come on.
The fear of the Lord is pre-K.
Yes. Well, I hear you, babe.
You're trying to graduate, and you haven't even got pre-K lessons down yet.
I hear you, babe.
The fear of the Lord. So we let anything come out of our mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Evil communication preceding worship.
Yeah.
Anything come out of our mouth, and then we come before him. God, humbly forgive me, for I have sinned before you. But you ain't sinned before him. You sinned before that person you were talking to. Go and tell them to forgive you, and then talk to God.
Wow. Amen.
The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. Somebody said
beginning of wisdom.
Look at this. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. Man, holy was the old church. We don't need that no more. We can do anything we want to.
Yeah.
Why they coming back with that old stuff talking about being holy? And we were liberated people. We can do anything we want because we've been set free. You ain't been set so free that you lose the standard of what God ascribed for your lifestyle. Ain't no man or woman in the world can tell you it's your thing. You can do what you want.
Amen. Amen.
God said, I created you. I formed you.
Amen.
I made you. I blew my breath
into you.
You have my likeness and my image over you. And are you representing me with how you carry yourself?
Wow.
Does your lifestyle reflect me? Yes, you can shack up because you want to.
Yes.
But when you shack up and you come in here and sing praise and worship and think God is going to receive and think the people are going to be moved, that devil is a liar and he's dying in this day.
Yes.
But now I ain't talking about just praise and worship. You think you can lay out here and think, I know the word of God and I'm Mr. Big, I'm pastor, I'm apostle, I'm evangelist, and I can live any kind of lifestyle and walk behind this sacred mount and begin to tell you what thus says the Lord, and I ain't heard nothing from him in years.
Wow.
He ain't said nothing to me in years because I ain't been in his presence and I've lost the standard of holiness. And so now I got to fuss at you because you ain't catching my non-revelation.
Yes, yes, yes.
Let me go ahead and prophesy. You're about to find some people dropping dead in the pulpit and in the choirs because they're misrepresenting the anointing of God.
Wow.
Holiness is about to resurrect in the house of God.
Yes.
And God says, I'm about to reestablish my image on my body. And they're going to look like me, act like me, and sound like me
Hallelujah.
When they communicate.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The fear of the Lord, wisdom. Wisdom has built her house.
Yes.
She has hewn out her seven pillars. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. We got to get back to just somebody lift your hand and say, Lord, I want to be holy.
Lord, I want to be holy.
Come on, lift your hand. Lord, I want to be holy. Lift your hand, Lord, I want to be holy.
Lord, I want to be holy.
We come in his house mad at one another and can't even shake that and get holy.
Wow. Wow.
We come in and other people can't get their blessing because my attitude is messed up and the spirit can't move and miracle can't happen. Stay your dead sitting all. Come to church.
Come to church. Come to church.
Come to church.
Come to church.
This is where you need to be.
Baby.
But don't just sit in the chair. Open your ears
and
open your heart and let the word come in.
Yes. Because verse 4 of the Proverbs scripture that Apostle lifted up, Proverbs 24:3, where he said that through wisdom is a house built and understanding it is established. Verse 4 happens to say, and by knowledge, watch this, the rooms in the house are filled. So when you come in, watch, when you avoid sitting under the word of God, you're avoiding tapping into the knowledge of God that he desires for you. So your house, your temple, come on, the rooms can't be filled. But when you, come on, subject yourself. That's that humbling yourself.
Humble.
Come on, I don't know. Come on, I don't. Knowledge. I really don't know it all.
I really don't know much of anything.
I really don't know it all. But we get to a place where prayer, prayer teaching, midweek, CLD, we're teaching on the gospels. We think we know everything. But we really don't know everything. Because there's a revelatory knowledge that God is releasing to his throne that's going to get us where book knowledge and verbal knowledge from man is not going to send us or propel us into. So it says, by knowledge, the rooms in the temple are filled. But watch this. When our rooms are filled, come on, that means anything else I get, it's going to be overflow. So now I can pour out and give to somebody else. And my room is so full and filled that I'm not going to miss or feel depleted. We got too many depleted Christians walking around. We're bumping into people who need a revelatory word, who need some wisdom, who need a little bit of knowledge. Come on. But we're so depleted, we can't even give them what we got because through knowledge it says the rooms are filled.
We're going to see those rooms in a few minutes.
We're going to see the rooms.
When we construct this temple.
Come on, somebody say, I'm filling my room so I can give.
But look at this. Through knowledge, the rooms are filled.
You went there, baby.
I didn't go there. I'm riding with you. It ain't in my notes, it's in yours, but I'm in your spirit.
Yeah, the room's filled.
Through knowledge, the rooms are filled. But what you don't know will keep you out the room. What you don't know will keep you out the room, and we reject knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You see, there's two types of ignorance working in the earth realm today.
Mm-hmm.
It's the absence of knowledge. And then it's the rejection of knowledge. We receive it, and then we reject it because it don't match what we already know. No, I ain't never heard that before. They ain't never taught me that before. I got to go do some more study and some more research. No, when he first gave it to you, you got to be able to hear it, and you got to be able to match it up and know the spirit that's speaking to you and receive it, because when you go back to look at it, you're going back with eyes of suspicion, and you're looking to cancel it based on what you were previously taught.
Wow. Yes.
You're going back to look to see, how can I reject that and find something, or how can I add to it with what I already know? Mm-hmm. And so most of us are not very good students. Most of us are professors already. Most of us are professional already, and we don't come to learn. We come to monitor what's being taught to see if it's more than, or will it increase, or will it match what I know?
Wow. And sometimes, baby, we just come to critique.
That's another one of them C's. I don't hear you talk about complaining.
That's what
I don't hear you talk about competing.
Compromising. And critiquing. These are the mindsets
that,
of people
that sounds
that keep
like
us out the kingdom.
That sounds like the reverse gospel.
You can tell when somebody come critique. I'm not talking about anybody. Come cross the legs. And the mindset is already saying, I wonder what they got to say this morning.
Sound like
and
the
so
reverse gospel.
When the word of God or the song of the Lord, come on, anything start coming forth, it's not a receiving, it's a critiquing.
You know, you can run into arrogance anywhere.
Shutting the door.
You can run into arrogance anywhere. Arrogance is a spirit that can show up on any scene that you ever walk upon. You can be dealing with a person in poverty, dire straits, hungry, don't have a transportation, want to go somewhere, and you can roll up on them in your Mercedes or your BMW, say, get in, I'm going to take you to get something to eat, and they can say to you, no, I don't want to ride in your car, I don't want to mess your car up. That ain't humility, that's false humility, and it's arrogance.
Yeah.
You close your door, roll your window back up, and pull yourself on off, because if they really in a dire needs, they don't care what you're driving, you can come on your horse and buggy and say, gee-haw, and pull up, and let them get on, and they'll go for a ride with you. But false humility will try to keep you out of places, and you'll act like I don't belong. Come on, talk to me. But look at this, seven pillars.
Yes.
So some people say these seven pillars can be found in Isaiah chapter 11, verse number 2, Isaiah 11, 2. You've heard of these seven pillars before. It talks about, it deals with the seven spirits or the seven gifts of God. The seven spirits are the seven gifts, and it talks about the Spirit of the Lord. Apostle Banks did a whole series on this. It talked about the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Mm-hmm. You see how these things are coming back around? Mm-hmm. That's what makes this ministry apostolic. Mm-hmm. You think some things that have happened and been said are dead, but they're starting to reverberate and recircle.
Perfect.
And so you got a series that Apostle had dealing with the seven spirits of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so now look at these. These are the seven pillars, are the seven gifts. The Spirit of the Lord. The spirit of wisdom and understanding. The spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge, and then the last one, the fear of the Lord. These are referred to often as the seven gifts, the seven pillars, or the seven spirits. And you can find the book of Revelations, when we get there and start teaching it, it refers back to these seven pillars at least about seven times in the first five chapters. It goes back and talk about the seven pillars of God, the seven pillars of God, and it speaks to it so that you would have an understanding. But we got to get this thing with wisdom down and understand that we're not just constructing based on a blueprint of man's knowledge. Or man's understanding. Your body is a temple of God. You can't build it on anything. The words that you're speaking communicates how you're building yourself in the faith. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. And a lot of us are cursing our own temple by the words that we speak out of our mouth. We're speaking words that are not producing life, but as an ambassador, as a child of God, as a building of God, all of my words ought to have life construct.
All
of my words ought to be constructing or building life, but if I get into that reverse gospel of competing, complaining, compromising, criticizing, critiquing, and all of that stuff, man, I'll begin to look at what you do, and I'll begin to tear you down because I think it's not building me up. Look at somebody and touch them and tell them, I want you to go up.
I want you to go up.
Touch somebody else and tell them, I want you to go up.
I want you to go up. Amen.
Look at this with the watchman. Deal with the watchman. Isaiah 62.
Genesis 9.
Go there. I want you to go up. Touch somebody else while Pastor Vicky is going to tell them, I want you to go up.
Amen. 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 If you would, one of the foundational scriptures in the year of establishing, we want you to write down is Genesis 9. Go ahead and go to verse 9, because I want to also talk about Deuteronomy 4 and 9. And when you're there, say amen. Genesis 9, verse 9, it says, "And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you." But then flip over to Deuteronomy 4 and 9, and keep in mind that we're dealing with a whole lot of nines, aren't we? Nine pillars. Deuteronomy 4, verse 9, the word of the Lord says, "Only be careful." Somebody say, uh-oh, be careful.
Be careful.
It says, "And watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart as long as you live." Here we go. "Teach them to your children." Watch this. "And to their children after them." Verse 9. "Remember the day you stood before the Lord, your God at Horeb, when he said to you, 'Assemble the people before me to hear my words so that they may learn,'" somebody say learn, "'to reverence me as long as they live in the land, and that they may teach them to their children.'" You see do you see how we lay this foundation, and it's not only for us and our generation, but it's for the future generation of our children? We have to remember and not forget that the word is not supposed to start and stop with us. When we start talking about that private home and then that corporate home and that private setting and that corporate setting, come on, the first place we as believers are supposed to release the gifts and the call of God, come on, the anointing, come on, and the gifts of God, it's not in this house, but it's in our private house.
Private home.
Oh, somebody caught that. Let a sick child come into our presence. Come on. Exercising that gift of laying on the hands and that prophetic voice. Come on. It's supposed to start in our private home so that when we come into the corporate setting and the body of Christ and we come together, we're able to release it as well. But that's where these gifts and these callings and the will of God is established. It's established in the private arenas of our life. Amen.
But let me say something with you in that private arena. This is the place we lose it the most.
Mm-hmm.
In the private arena. When it talks about raising the children and the children learning to have a reverence for God,
yep.
You understand those children see you when you're not in the pulpit with a mic in your hand.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Those children hear what you say to each other when you're not leading prayer or singing in worship.
Yes. They watch your actions.
Those children see how you communicate with each other when you drive down the road and when you're sitting in the house. They're watching, hey, how come they act one way up in here, but then they get up in the pulpit and they want to be all up on each other, and I hear you, baby, and I got you, and babe, I got you. But in the house, she ain't babe. She's something else. In the house, she ain't talking to me. She's somewhere else.
Yeah.
But then in the pulpit, we want to put on, we faking this funk like we got it together and got it going on. And then it only so much that you can do in the dark that God don't begin to reveal and bring to the light.
Yes.
And he says, you ain't going to keep hiding up behind these covers and acting like you're dealing with me. And then walking in here as a professional without a profession.
Yes.
Because I ain't said nothing to you about nothing concerning you because you have not consulted with me. And so now you're preaching out of experience.
Right.
You're singing out of experience. You're praying out of experience. And my church is dying for the lack of an experience with me.
Yes, yes, yes. Because what our children see in our private arenas will be that what they carry into the next generation.
Next generation.
So when we start talking about our children's children, and we think, but our kids don't have kids just yet. Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm.
They're in seed formation.
In them already.
It's already in them. That's what God told Jeremiah while you were what? Yet in your mother's womb. Come on. I knew you. I knew you. He says, before you were birthed, before you were born, I called you. So there's already a prophetic gifting lying in the unborn generation, that what they see is what they will take into the next generation. What will it be? Will it be that of a blessing, or will it be that of a cursing? Will it be them obeying the teaching that we have released to them with power and authority, or will it be that of disobedience, one where they will shut down the word? Because why? What they saw, come on, is not really what they got.
What they got. And watch this. The church is so full of preaching that when we look at the second level that we dealt with last week, that teacher is a missing component in many houses of God.
It is.
We know the word through preaching, but we don't have understanding and application of that word through the teacher.
Yes.
The teacher teaches us how to apply that we're hearing and learning.
Yes.
So that it be beneficial for us when
yes.
we leave school. You understand? They don't teach you this information so you can come back to school every day and say, retrain
yes.
me on this thing. They teach you,
yes.
and then they make sure you got it through testing, and then they release you to walk in the revelation and the wisdom. And how you
yes.
walk is an indicator of, did you really learn the lesson, or
yes.
did you just go to class?
Yes.
And a lot of us are going to class, but the teacher has not tested us to see, do we have full application of the word? And so
yes.
we're supposed to be loving. Love is up on
yeah.
that board. And so now, when life, who is the teacher?
Yes.
When life, who is the
yes.
master?
Yes.
When life run up on me,
yes.
and I'm supposed to
yes.
love you, but
yes.
you do something that I don't like.
Yes.
I got to get back in class real quick,
right.
because I'm about to go off
yes.
on you. But the teacher kicks in and said, by this shall all men know
yes.
that you're my disciples, by the love
yes.
that you have
yes.
one for another.
Yes. The teacher will make you feel uncomfortable.
Huh.
Because the teacher's objective is to shine light in dark arenas.
Huh.
But because we get so comfortable, come on, y'all, operating in the dark arenas of the world, when the teacher of God comes in and shed light on it, how many of you know that's uncomfortable? Because now we are faced with a decision. Now that we know, the question is, what are we going to do with it?
How you going to handle that?
How are we going to handle that now? Are we really going to change now that we know the word of God is instructing us in the way of truth and
light
and not in the way of darkness and secret?
Watch this. The teacher is not impressed with your emotionalism.
Not at all.
I have never gone to a college class, a lecture, a seminar, and the instructor wanted me to stand up and shout.
You right. Knowledge and understanding is what
the instructor
they
wanted me to get the revelation
yes.
of what was being taught, and
yes.
then show them that I got it. The preacher wants you to give them praise and let them know how good they do it. Am I right about
yeah.
it?
Come on, teacher.
Can I get a
Come
witness
on.
Up in here?
No,
the Lord is good all the time. Stand up on your feet and turn around three times
yes.
and tell somebody how good God is. Ain't he all right?
Yeah.
And you walk out of there and you ain't got your money for your bill next week. The teacher wants you to sit down and say, let me see your budget.
Yes.
Let me see how you're organizing your finances. Let me see what you're doing with your money.
Yes.
Let me see, are you investing or are you eating all your seed? But
yes.
you don't want to deal with the teacher because the teacher wants revelation or feedback from you. And you say, I can hide
yep.
from the pastor. But the teacher said, let's put it in writing.
Yes.
And you say, I ain't fooling with y'all. This is my money. This is my budget. This is my stuff. And so now you stay broke, busted, and disgusted
yeah.
and say, why are they prophesying lies? Talking about my blessing gonna come. It is when you get over pride, arrogance, egotistical, self-denial, and walk before somebody and humble yourself and say, look at what I'm doing and tell me, how can I be better?
Yes. And when we talk about being better, we know we just flowing, y'all. When you deal with prophetic teaching, there are no notes. There is no outline. The Holy Spirit is the outline. Amen. But when you start talking about that teacher and wanting to increase, that's why all throughout the Old Testament, from Genesis right on down, you begin to see God's command throughout the generations is to be fruitful and multiply. The teacher is all about being fruitful and increasing, being numerous and multiplying, releasing blessings down from current generation into future generation. So they know, we know that the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, the revelation of God's word has to what? Be applied in our life so that we can be fruitful and what? Somebody say multiply.
Multiply.
Increase. If we look at where we are today and we are the same place that we were January 11, 2014. If we open up the notebook and the Bible is still sitting on the same place it was this time last year, we have not increased, we were not fruitful, and we have not multiplied.
Got a family Bible.
Do you catch it? And so when you start looking at being fruitful, multiplying, and increasing, God commanded Adam to increase. What did he say? Be fruitful and multiply. Then he turned around and told Noah, be fruitful and multiply.
That's it.
He turned around and told Abraham, be fruitful and multiply. Abraham turned around and told his son Ishmael, come on, who everybody wants to cancel. Abraham pronounced over Ishmael, be fruitful and multiply. If I'm going to give birth to you, I don't care what nobody call you. I don't care if it's premature.
You better work with it.
I don't care if it's out of wedlock. I don't care if it was out of fornication. If I birth you, baby, you're going to be fruitful and you're going to multiply. He turned around and told Ishmael, be fruitful and multiply. Stop. Stop the madness. And then you turn around and you begin to see that he also told Isaac to be fruitful and multiply. Guess what? Isaac turned around and told Jacob, be fruitful. And this has been a commandment over the times of Adam. And then Jacob turned around and tells Joseph, y'all know Joseph, be fruitful and multiply. Imagine what he had to hold on to in the pit.
He
had to hold on to a be fruitful and multiply. He had to hold on to increase in the pit. And because of Joseph, he what? People look at him and say, oh, he's just one of many sons. Baby, Joseph became the king of a nation, a prophet of a nation, a keeper of a nation. He was fruitful and he multiplied even though he was sold into slavery.
Huh.
It doesn't matter what has occurred in your life. God's commandment is for you right there where you are to be fruitful and multiply, increase and replenish the earth. Replenish the earth with faith. Replenish the earth with the Holy Spirit. Replenish the earth with wisdom. Replenish the earth with praise and worship. Replenish the earth with fellowship. Replenish the earth with love. Replenish the earth with the word of God. Replenish the earth with faith. The nine pillars that we are establishing this ministry on.
Faith.
Somebody say, be fruitful and multiply.
Be fruitful and multiply.
There are the nine pillars right before us.
Look at this in Genesis 9. And then we look at Psalms 90. We're not going to overfeed you. We're just going to feed you. Genesis 9. Then God blessed Noah, a drunk, who happened to be a prophetic preacher. All depends on your perception of him. All depends on how you want to look at him. You can look at him as a drunk, or you can look at him as a prophetic preacher, but it really don't matter how you look at him, because God cut covenant and he blessed him regardless of where he is. Somebody need to hear that this morning. Somebody looking at where you are, but they don't know the covenant that God cut with you already. And they calling you stuff that don't really matter, because when God cuts covenant.
Yeah. Don't do it, Michelle. Don't do it. Don't do
covenant.
It. Don't do it.
Now, you can do it a little bit. When God cuts covenant, he's not a man that he's going to lie. And he don't back up and put it in reverse when you mess up. God says, I stand on my word and
my
covenant. And it's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever established. So he says to Noah, who you call a drunk, be fruitful.
Listen now.
Genesis 9:1. And multiply.
Yes.
be fruitful and increase and fill the earth.
Yes.
He says it, but Noah was a drunk.
Feel it.
Noah's supposed to be a preacher. You canceling preachers because they don't look like what you think they ought to. Not knowing that God has a covenant with that man and woman of God.
There's going to come a day where we're going to put a 10-year-old youth in front of this pulpit. And they are going to release the prophetic word of the Lord that has come into their spirit directly from the throne of God. Will you be able to receive them? We can't teach on establishing a covenant with future generations and not release our youth to proclaim the word of the Lord in this season that we're going to.
Gotta turn them loose.
We gotta turn them loose. So we're not gonna be able to critique them. We're not gonna be able to compete against them. We're just gonna be able to receive them in this season.
Everybody, we gotta be fruitful and multiply. Psalms 90:17.
It's coming.
Write this down. Put this in your hand. This is something we want to say to you before we get up out of here with you.
Amen.
We're gonna deal with two scriptures, Psalms 90. And baby, if you deal with Isaiah 62, I think it ties us into the fast. And then we see where God takes us. Psalms 90:17, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Huh. You ain't going to look like what you've been through.
Beauty, the beauty. You should smile right there.
He going to change your garment.
The beauty.
For the spirit of heaviness, he's about to put a new robe on you. Huh. He can bring you out of ashes.
Yes.
And he's about to put his beauty, amen, back up on your life. He says, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And look at this. And establish. There it is. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. He don't want us to just look good. But now your hands are being established. Everything you touch is going to prosper in this season. I got to prophesy to you right here.
Yes.
Everything that your hands come up against, amen, in this year of your life, it shall be established and it's going to prosper. He says, and establish thou the work of our hands. Yes, the work of our hands, establish it. Psalms 1 says, and whatever you touch or whatever you do, it shall prosper. This is the year that whatever your hands come upon, whatever you touch, you're going to be able to open your mouth and speak to this thing out of the power, the authority, the anointing. This ain't the year for you to be a beggar.
Yes.
This ain't the year for you to go in your prayer closet kneeling down asking for stuff. This ain't the year for you to walk in saying, Lord, if it be thy will. No, Lord, I know your will.
Your will.
You got a covenant with me. And God, I put a demand.
Yes.
God, I put a demand on this blessing to come into my life right now.
Right now.
This is the year.
Yes.
This is the year.
Go ahead.
That I got to be like that woman over in Luke. I got to be like that persistent widow.
Yeah.
Dealing with an evil king that said, I ain't going to do nothing for you. That's what you say, but that ain't what he said.
Yeah.
I'm going to knock on your door every day and ask you for the same thing until you get sick and tired of me. Somebody don't hear me. You got to be so determined in this season. We've been begging for stuff that he's already given us.
Yeah.
He's already told us to be fruitful and multiply, and we still asking. That's like me driving up to my house and asking my neighbor, can I come in? That's foolish.
It belongs to you.
We're going into prayer, and we're begging for stuff. That he has already given us.
Yes.
He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness.
Yes.
And we're talking about what we don't got. Why don't you have it? Because you just said, I don't got it. You prophesied it out of your mouth. And so you got to train what comes out of your mouth to say, I got every promise that God has given me and said is mine. It's at work in my life. My hands are at work. My hands are materializing.
Yes.
My hands are prospering. My hands are calling these blessings.
Yes, yes. What is it that the Lord has spoken into your spirit? Just stand to your feet. We want to put you in remembrance. The text said, remember and forget not.
Remember.
We want to just put you in remembrance of some things that the Spirit of the Lord spoke to you. If you would, just close your eyes. Because some of us have forgotten some words that have been spoken into our spirit to the point where it's a challenge or a struggle to even remember. Isaiah 40 says that the grass withers and the flower fade, but the word of God that has been spoken shall stand and rise up in you forever.
Shall be established.
It shall be established in you. Put God in remembrance of his word and begin to decree it out of your mouth even now. Not I'm gonna or we're gonna, but I am and I have and I am and we are. And when you settle that thing in your spirit, just celebrate God.
Hold on. This is not the year for you to be silent. Hear me and hear me well. This is not the year for you to be silent. This is not the year for you to be passive. This is not the year for you to be cute, nor to be handsome and afraid of what you're going to mess up. This is not the year that you will decree an old generic decree, que sera, sera, whatever will be, and you saying, God, whatever is going to happen, it's going to happen. But this is the year for you to be focused and direct in what it is that you want from God. God says, man, you can't be confusing me in this year and saying one thing, but believing for another thing, but saying another thing. And every time you talk, I don't know which one to do for you because you keep going around and around and around in circles. This is the year for you to open up your mouth and declare a thing until heaven gets tired of you saying what it is that belongs to you and calling those things to be not as though they already are. You got to open up your mouth and you got to go before God every day of your waking moment, and you got to get in his presence and say, God, it's me again. You already know what I'm about to say to you, but God, I didn't see it yesterday, so I'm saying it again today, and I'm not going to stop saying it until I see it standing right before me.
That tree that flourishes is the tree that is planted and rooted by the water. The water being the word of God. God is decreeing Isaiah 62 even over this house as one of our foundational scriptures. He says, I have set or established watchmen upon the walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night, but they shall make mention of the Lord and keep not silent. There's been silent frustration brewing on the inside of some. And it's time for us to resurrect that word that's been spoken into our spirit. It says, and we will give him no rest until he establishes.
Say that part again.
We will give him no rest until he establishes and until he makes Jerusalem or RCC a house of praise in the earth realm. No longer shall we be gloomy and in despair because we haven't tapped into the promises of God, but we shall be a house of praise, celebrating the promises. It says, go through the gates. Come on, y'all, we on a move now.
You're cleaning up some stuff.
Come on, the gates are being opened. The gates are in the city, and they are like the gates are the two things that open and close and enter and exit the city. And so even as we go through the gates, God is opening up the gates and we are entering into a new place of promise that we have never encountered before. Go through the gates. I decree that the gates are being opened for you. God has opened the gates and they're already waiting for your arrival. God is expecting you to tap into the blessings. It says, prepare the way. Prepare the way. Prepare the gospel. I speak prophetically that the gospel of God will be on our lips. And as we prepare the gospel to the people, that not only will our household be saved, set free, and delivered, but everyone that comes into our presence, everyone that God has assigned, there are souls assigned to us. It says, prepare the way for his people. Cast up the highway. Somebody's about to be elevated to their high place even now.
Right now.
In the spirit realm, you're coming up out of that pit of despair. And you're entering into a highway where there's a lot of motion. There's a lot of traffic. There could even be a lot of confusion. But God is directing your path on this highway. It says, gather out the stones. There are stones that represent our deliverance. There are some stony places in our heart, in our life, that we have to gather out and cast out these stones. Come on, just put that spirit of bitterness in the forefront of what it is you're praying now. Put that spirit of unforgiveness. Put that spirit of fear. Put that spirit of resentment. And command it as a stone that's being cast out.
Gotta go.
And it says in that verse, lift up a standard for the people. And that's a standard of holiness. Come on, we got to make a declaration that we're going to be different and people are going to be drawn to us because of the standard of holiness that we shall walk in. God is releasing and elevating us to a high place, saints. And where we're going, we've never gone before. So he has to pave the way for us. But even as he does that, we have to walk by faith
and not by sight.
We have to receive his word in our heart and not try to comprehend it in our minds.
This word, when we look at this, take your seat for 2 minutes.
In Jesus' name. Give him a praise as you just received, as you receive. Come, receive the shifting. Receive the new thing. Receive the change that's taking place in our lives.
This word establish is a verb. It's a verb, and that means it requires an action.
Yes.
Establish is not just something you hear and it automatically happens. He says he's going to establish the works of our hands. If your hands are not doing anything, you can't expect to be established.
Yes.
This ain't the year to recruit people to serve in his house. If you come in his house and your heart ain't to do anything, I like that broken English for the English teachers. I understand ain't is not in the lexicon. They want to put it there, but
don't
I understand the right verbs, but the transition, but watch this, ain't.
Yeah.
If people come in the house and their heart is not set to do something in God's house, then God says, my heart is not going to be set to do anything in your house.
Yes.
And so now you ain't responsible to make people or recruit people or to run people down or to browbeat them to bring bodies into your ministry that don't want to be there anyway. And so now you got dead weight because their hands are not executing and not prospering. And you got to convince them to move, to serve, to be, to come out, to do. You got to put them on schedules and rotations. Mm-hmm. You know what needs to be done like everybody else knows what needs to be done.
Yes.
And you just got to make up your mind to do it.
Yes.
Establish is a verb and it requires an action and it's going to require the works of your hands.
Yes.
The works of your hand. When Nehemiah got ready to build the temple, he assembled all of the people. And everybody had an assignment and a task and something to do.
Yes.
And nobody was just sitting back critiquing and saying, let me see how they're going to do that. No, baby, it don't matter what your age is.
Wow.
It don't matter what your gender is. It don't matter what your size is. It don't matter what your race is.
Yes.
You got work that you can do in God's house
so
God can establish your house.
Yes,
let me
sir.
Say this. Let
yes,
me say
sir.
This.
Yes,
God
sir.
Needs your body.
Yes, sir.
In this year of establishing.
Yes.
God needs your whole body. He's tired of your spirit. These ghosts showing up at his house and your body somewhere else. I look
My
out and see your
there.
Face. Your body is dead in the room, but your spirit wants to just flourish. God says, this year of establishing, you're going to bring all of yourself to me in my house. And you ain't going to bring your moody moods. You ain't going to bring your negative attitudes.
Yes.
You ain't going to bring pessimism. But you're going to come with a spirit of praise.
Yes, Lord.
A spirit of worship.
Yes.
a spirit of expectation, a spirit of joy,
yes,
a spirit of celebration,
yes,
a spirit of coming before my,
yes,
presence, a spirit of expectation that signs, wonders, and miracles are going to happen. Why? Because I place a demand on the move of God in,
yes,
the house. This ain't the year.
Yes.
This ain't the year for procrastination. Mm. This is not the year for stagnation.
Mm-mm.
This is not the year for idle,
oh,
and standing back and watching. This ain't the year for the spectators,
yes,
to look in and call the Monday morning replay. This is the year.
Yes, Jesus.
Where every hand on deck.
Every hand.
Is, yes, being called.
Yes.
To rise up and stand.
Yes.
And seek out from,
yes,
God. What is it can I do in your house? Nobody comes to your house and tell you it's time to sweep the kitchen floor.
You know when it's
nobody
time.
Come to your house and tell you the trash is overflowing in the bathroom.
You know.
Nobody come to your house and tell you what you need to do.
Yeah.
But why do you got to come to God's house and somebody got to tell,
yeah,
you everything to do? Open up your eyes
and
see again.
In Jesus' name.
Look out amongst yourself and see, what must I do to be a part of this,
yes,
establishing? Let me say,
yes,
this. Elder Gail, you ain't going to have to cry for singers. Forget about the skill and look for the heart.
Yes.
If they can make a joyful noise to the Lord, bring them on board with you. This is the season for the worship ministry,
yes,
to explode,
yes,
and to grow.
Yes.
But they're worried about a note in a tune. Forget about that,
yes,
and bring their bodies.
Yes.
And when they touch a mic or stand in the pulpit, it will prosper. The sound
in
will
Jesus
be magnified.
Name. In Jesus' name.
Let me say this to all of the singers. I don't want to sing down there. I'm a choir singer. They don't sing the songs I like to sing. They don't sing them because you ain't up there yet. When you,
wow,
make your way up there, they'll start singing,
yeah,
the songs that,
yeah,
you want to sing.
Yeah.
But ain't nobody singing to you. And ain't nobody singing for you. So all of the singers, all of the worshipers, all of the dancers, it's time for the worship ministry to be resurrected,
yes,
in the house of God. One of the pillars is praise,
yes,
and worship. It's time for a restoration of praise and worship from willing vessels. Recruiting people to sing in God's house. Recruiting people to worship in God's house.
Yes.
Recruiting people to usher in God's house.
Yes.
When David said, I'd rather be a,
yes,
doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. And we got to recruit people to serve in God's house.
Yes, yes, yes.
But then expect a blessing, mm-hmm, in my house.
Yes, yes.
Let me say this.
Yes. Jesus.
This is not Apostle C and Pastor Vicky's house. You don't work in here for us.
Amen. Amen.
We don't employ anybody in here to work for us.
Amen.
This is not our house.
Not
this
at all.
Is the Lord's house.
Yes.
And he is the one that,
yes,
you're serving when you do something for him.
Yes.
When you work for me, you come to where I live. And I'm responsible to make it right for,
yes,
you. But when you work in his house, he's responsible,
yes,
to make it right for you.
Yeah,
I say this in closing.
When you come to us, we reward you and compensate you.
Cole,
but when you go to God, he ultimately rewards and compensates you. Anybody want an eternal reward?
He knows the motives. You see, you can fool Pastor C. You can fool Pastor Vic. I can act like this around you. And y'all might see something on my life and start talking to me about elevation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You see it, but you ain't responsible for it.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Not at
It's one thing when we see something.
Yes.
And it ought to just be a confirmation.
Yes. Yes.
If I see something that you don't see,
yes, sir.
God ain't said it yet to you.
He ain't said it yet to you.
And it ain't time for you to be in that place yet where Pastor said, he see me being a minister. That ain't a high enough standard. God has been speaking to my heart about this thing in ministry. And I don't know, I'm wrestling with this thing. And now here come Pastor talking about, man, God is talking to me about a call that he has on your life. And now, God, you done showed me. Now the man and woman of God done showed me. God, what must I do to get an understanding of this thing? I got to submit myself now to hear what it is you're saying.
Yes.
Most people serve in God's house for a position or a title. Most people serve in God's house because I want preferred seating.
Right.
It's like going to the opera. Cole said, why he up here messing with me? He making me all, putting me on the spot. He said, Cole, most people want preferred seating.
Yes.
But when God elevates you.
Yes.
In due season, in due time.
Yes.
You realize you're in the seat that God orchestrated, designed, and wanted you to be in from the day you were born out of your mother's womb.
Yes.
Do you realize she's sitting in heaven looking down on you and saying, that's my baby in the seat
she
that
knew.
I know God has spoke over her life.
She
when she looked over and said, that's my mama
she
standing
knew.
There who covered and prayed for her and watched over her. And now look at my baby in the seat that she's supposed to be in.
Yes.
And when she see Ronnie, look at my grandbaby, whom the world could have spoke negative about, but whom God has healed from a heart condition, whom God has established and raised up. And now look at me, restoring and establishing and working.
Jesus.
How did I get on that front row? They don't know your story. Don't know what you've been through. Don't know where you went to get to a point that you can make up your mind that, God, I'm ready and I'm worthy and I'm here and I'm available. Use my hands. And everything in your life in this season shall prosper because your hands are at work.
Yes. For many of us, God is fulfilling the promises that he made to our parents and our grandparents. We don't even understand why we are going through the process that we're going through now. And guess what? It's not even a promise he made to us. It's a promise that he made to our mother and our father and our great-great-grandparents when he said, the fruit of your womb shall be blessed. One thing I see with Jeremiah and the different ones that are in here and that's going to be here on Vision Night, amen, January the 21st, when we release some things that God has put on our heart, is that even with Jeremiah, God asked him some questions, and Jeremiah answered the question, and then God confirmed what Jeremiah answered the question with. He did that two times. And so many of us here have asked God some questions, and God have answered our question. And on Vision Night, God is going to confirm some things in this house because the fivefold ministry gifts must be fully operative in order for the body of Christ to be established on the foundation of Christ.
As we bring this thing to a close today, in this year of 2015, we're talking about being established spiritually.
Yes.
We're talking about being established emotionally. That's the place that we have to minister on because it's the seat of the emotions that's derailing a lot of us in our walk.
Yes.
We have to be established foundationally.
Yes.
We got to know who Christ is without a shadow of a doubt.
And we have to know when he calls us to walk in our fivefold ministry gift and calling. That's the foundation. There is no body of Christ. There is no edifying and building up the body of Christ without the fivefold ministry gifts. There is no perfecting the saints without the fivefold ministry gifts. And that's the foundation that's going to be established in this house. Somebody don't even realize you are an evangelist because you're already doing the work of an evangelist. You don't be, the title evangelist is not bestowed upon you and then you do the work. You're doing the work of the evangelist and then God confirms your rule, rank, and authority and covering as an evangelist.
God ain't gonna be surprised by people getting sent in.
God's not gonna be, but a whole bunch of us gonna be. God's gonna say, I knew.
Y'all gonna hear some names
from the womb
on January the 21st.
I knew from the womb.
Y'all gonna hear some names of some leaders being called. And you ought not be surprised when you see them. You ought to, now who is she? I ain't seen them do nothing up in the house. Where they come from?
They're already doing the work.
Surprising you. He's not surprising you into assignments anymore. But the works of your hands. When God needed a replacement for Elijah, and the only reason why he replaced Elijah, Pastor John, was Elijah asked to be replaced. Elijah made a declaration out of his mouth. He said, God, you said, count me as dead because I'm the only one. And God says, so you said you're dead. That means you're done. I need you to do three more things for me before I bring you out of here. And I'm going to bring you to me because you asked me. I need you to anoint your replacement. How did he know Elisha was his replacement? Because God saw him doing something.
He was
plowing on 12 yokes of oxen, and he wasn't on the first one trying to be the big dog. He was on the 12th pair. He could sit in the back and still knew he was a leader. And he says, I want you to find him because he's not wrapped up in pride.
Yes.
And I want you to catch him, and I want you to put this cloak on him, and he ain't ready yet. So don't put him in the office. Just put the mantle on him.
Wow, yes.
Because I got to prepare him to replace you. But while the mantle is there, take it back off of him just to see if it fits. See if he's going to get arrogant because he's in the position. See if he's going to get the big head. Or see if he's going to humble himself.
Yes.
God looks for those who are already serving.
Yes.
Yesterday, we went to a meeting and we closed. Mm-hmm. But we're going to establish financially.
Financially.
Materially.
Mm-hmm.
Relationally. Locally. Nationally. And internationally. They're all there. There's nine. We went to an event yesterday and it was the most humbling thing. And I laughed. I said, God, I love it when you do this to me. They done told you you're going to be an apostle. No, they didn't tell you nothing. God told me before they said it.
Exactly.
She's the pastor. We got tickets. And we walk in and the tickets say you're supposed to be at table number 6. The ticket says that. And we get to table 6 and it's full. One seat left. Do you act a fool because you got a ticket?
Or a title. Ticket or title?
Or do you humble yourself and back away from it and step off of it and don't move somebody who may be working their way to that place because it's in the front? Do you back off of it and say, God, I hear you talking to me. Your title and your ticket don't position you to always be in preferred seating.
Yes.
We back off of that thing from table 6 and we go to the back and I say to the usher, find me 2 seats anywhere in the room. It don't matter. Because I understand I'm taking the humility test now. Pop Norm on the camera, he's working the floor trying to find a better seat. He's beckoning because I'm his pastor and he wants me to be in a better place. Elder Ray wants to give up his seat and say, sir, let me give you my seat. I don't feel comfortable being here and you all the way back there. And I text him and said, nope, I like this chair. Pop Norm called us to the front and I said, we're good. And we go back and we take the seats from table 6 to table 25. The back of the room almost. But it doesn't make me miss the information.
Not at all.
Doesn't make me miss the revelation. I don't miss anything going on in the room, but I have to know you don't always got to be in the number one seat to receive what's going on in the room. If you humble yourself and back up and let somebody else take that seat.
Yes, yes, yes.
Can you not feel robbed because you got a ticket and you got a title and you ought to be in that place, but somebody else is sitting there? Is it robbery from you?
Some of us sitting in the back, God has anointed you to have insight for oversight. That's why you're back there. And so even with that being said, don't take it for granted or don't feel robbed at where you are postured in the natural, because God has you there for a reason in the spiritual. What is it that you see that God needs to use you? Milagros, evangelist, stand to your feet. You stand to your feet. You see empty seats in this auditorium. Had you been sitting up here by Mother Banks, the auditorium would look full. But God has granted you with insight for oversight so that he can call you to the nations and the community, nationally, internationally, and locally, to fill these seats. Not just the ones in this room, but the ones viewing via iGrow. There are not enough logins to receive the prophetic word of the Lord that's going forth. That's your assignment. And look at where she's postured. Everybody just turn around. She sees the empty seats. You all see a full auditorium.
Watch this. Not only does she see them, Elder Roussel, stand up.
Where's Elder? Right there, insight for oversight.
Evangelists are never down front because they need to know the capacity of the room and the scope of their assignment. And so they camp out on the edges and the perimeters to see what's missing and what's lacking, so that they can know how to fill the house. But they're not robbed of their office.
Not robbed.
Because they're not down front with the pastors.
You know, babe,
they
sometimes
have an ability to see the need.
Sometimes we can carry out the title better without the title. However, amen, I used to shout on that too because I didn't want the title. But when God says, now is the acceptable time for you to walk in this elevated place, we have to be able to receive that title, because when he bestows the title, he bestows the spiritual rule, rank, and authority, where now the enemy, come on, and the activity in the demonic realm recognizes without a question of a doubt who you are in the kingdom of God. You've been anointed and appointed for that gift to be in operation in the body of Christ. Amen. So we're just trying to bring peace to the house, because January 21st is coming. And this is a day that we can't be lazy and have a whole lot going on. We might need to pack some change of clothes in the car after work, because we need to press our way to see how is it that God is going to establish RCC in this new season. This is the first time in history that we are literally embracing Africa, Uganda, and cut covenant with them. Watch this.
Look at where
missionary pastors.
Hang out.
Watch this. Pastor Henry and Karen Wynn, who's engaging in the 21-day fast with us starting today. Come on. Projects that we are going to undertake to make sure that, watch this, not only are the needs in RCC met, but that the needs in Uganda are met under the leadership of Pastor Wynn and Pastor Karen as well. Come on, we're going global. Amen. Isn't that exciting? That's Amen. Why our rooms must be filled.
Who led prayer this morning? Who led intercessory prayer? Come. We're going to do this.
Yes.
We're not going to bring you down front today. We're not going to put you on individual notification. This is an establishing for all of us. I want you to stand on your feet. I do want you to just reach across the rows and touch each other.
Jesus' name.
This is not a disjointed establishing.
Yes, Lord.
It's a connected establishing.
Amen.
Just touching somebody.
Every joint supplies.
The hand that you're touching the hand of a worshiper. And Elder Gale is not going to have enough mics and room, and they're just going to stand behind, and they're going to just lead. Minister Jamila, you're not going to have to worry about how many do I got. Do I have adults or do I have teenagers? But if they have the ability to dance, the Bible says apt to,
yes.
The aptitude, if they have an ability. But what you're able to do, with them in this season. What you and Minister Arian did this morning, standing behind the praise and worship ministry, will become consistent, where it's not going to require rehearsals but a spirit.
Yes.
It ain't going to be how many steps we learn, yes, and choreography and all of that, but it's going to be a spirit to hear and to be in rhythm and move. And whosoever will gather unto you.
I hear the Lord saying, when his Holy Spirit hovers over the willing vessel, they will flutter and they will begin to dance
and just fall in place
according to his spirit for the house. You taught that message, Jamila. That's why you're crying. I'm not regurgitating something you haven't already heard. I said, when the spirit hovers over the dancers that you anoint and appoint, they will begin to flutter and they will begin to dance in the spirit of the house.
Well, yeah, Mike.
Speak that over you.
The biggest mic that's in the house. I got about 12 mics. So I'm looking for the biggest mic, Mike McKenzie. Mike, you're not going to have to sit behind that curtain every Sunday.
In Jesus' name.
When they realize that there's a need to get this gospel out through medium, you're going to be able to sit in service and worship with your wife and worship with your children, because they're going to realize it ain't about a camera. If Noam, 70-some years old, can sit on a camera every Sunday, D. Grant can sit on a camera and others can sit on a camera. These cameras does not have male only on them. They can be operated by males
and
females. Teenagers and young adults can work
name.
These cameras. You're not going to have to sit in the center on that camera every Sunday, man of God, because there's going to be a rotation of hands that's going to prosper you, that you can hear the word. Man of God, we thank you for all that you're doing every Wednesday with you and the small team that you have, that people all over this nation can get this gospel. But it's robbery to you to not be able to sit down with your Bible and sit down with your wife and receive the word. And so I say, hands are coming to you in this season.
In Jesus' name. We speak over the house that even as you put your hands to the audio tech table, that God is going to sharpen, groom, and develop untapped into talents. And as you develop and cultivate those gifts in this house, you will be able to use them in your house. And God will give you positions, not just a job, but men and women in the community will seek after you for this gift that's been developed right here at RCC under the leadership of Mike McKenzie. We've been talking about whatever you put your hands to do, but the hands must be skilled. And we speak a skill when you're able to get the gospel out throughout the world. That's a skill. And there are many corporations that need to get their product throughout the world. And your training is going to take place under Mike McKenzie. We encourage you to tap into the gifting that he can release over you. You don't have to stay stuck where you are. The opportunities are open in this house.
Hallelujah. As you join hands with every person in this building, I see God linking us together, not just physically, but I see a linking and a connecting in the spirit realm. God says that he's connecting not just us as people, as leaders. God says he's linking the call of God in each one of our lives. He's connecting the apostle. He's connecting the pastor. He's connecting the evangelist. He's connecting all of the spiritual giftings all as one in this hour. God says we've been just disjointed long enough. But on this morning, through the anointing of our apostle and our senior pastor, God says he's connecting us in the spirit realm. No longer disjointed. But we decree that even in our lives, as we leave out of this place, that our spirits are being binded and connected in the name of Jesus. That when we pray for one another, that we're praying for healing, that we're so connected. That when we pray for our sisters and brothers, that marriages are being restored, that bodies are being healed, that financial conditions are being fixed. as we pray for one another, God says that our mantles are rising up, that we're no longer standing on the backside, but God says he's given us entrance in the realm of the Spirit. Father, we thank you that even in this hour, God, that during these 21 days, God, that you're joining us and that you're binding us. Father, that we shall never be disjointed and broken again, Father. God says that he's connecting us in a way in RCC that leaders will be connected to one another like never before. God says that you will be connected to your pastors like never before in this hour. I heard the Lord say, when you ministered the number of nine and you kept saying, what is the number of nine about? God says the number of nine means his divine will. The number nine talks about God establishing things in his kingdom. Go look it up when you leave here. And you will see how the number nine connects us and establishes us in the things of God. Everything that we do in this hour and going forward, God says it's purposeful. We shall not do anything else going forward in this year that is not purposeful. God is establishing us not only in this house, but God says in our own personal houses. He's establishing us in our relationships, in our marriages, in our friendships, in our ministries. God says everything is purposeful in this hour. Father, we thank you, oh God, that when we leave this place, oh God, and every day, God, during these 21 days, Father, give us your spirit like we've never seen it before, God. God, take us past the outer courts, God. Take us, oh God, into the holies of holies, God. Show us your will, God. Show us your favor, God. Show us your purpose, Lord. Father, that we might do your will. Father, we thank you that this is a season of unity, that this is a season of power, that this is a season of favor, that this is a season of abundance, oh God. And Father, we forever give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor. For you alone are worthy. Thank you, oh God. Thank you, oh God, for the new mantles, God. Thank you for the fresh anointings. Thank you for the fresh power. Thank you for the fresh wind that is blowing in this house. And we honor you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Give God praise. Hallelujah. See, what y'all don't know is y'all looking at a reconnected, a connected daughter that's connected in a greater way. She was never disconnected, but she had to back away so that she could get insight for oversight. And where is it that God would have her in this new season? And God revealed, come on, he answered her prayer. And he reinstituted her place. But not as she was, but as he's calling her to be. Elder Rashida as a watchman, an intercessor that's able to proclaim for her spiritual mother and father. And whatever it is you proclaim, Elder Rashida, it's going to be established as you have released it. It is so in the spirit realm. And we receive you, precious. And one thing, go ahead and take your seats. Hallelujah. We're going to prepare. Hold on, right? Because one thing, Elder Rashida, that you lifted up, that confirmed where you supposed to be with me. This place where you see yourself now up under my arm, where I'm your covering and I'm your protector and I'm able to open up doors for you in a female arena. Things that a father can't do, a mother can do and birth in you. When you started talking about that nine, I wanted to make sure that we capture the symbolic meaning of that number nine before we left service today. Those nine pillars that's lifted up on that PowerPoint behind us. Nine is the number of judgment and finality. It's the last of the single digit numbers making or marking the end of a thing. is significant of the conclusion of a matter. And what God is proclaiming in this season, there's a conclusion. There's an establishment of it. But even just process this in your spirit. What time was Jesus nailed to the cross? The word of God says the third hour. That's 9 o'clock in the morning. How long did he hang on the cross? The word of God says he dismissed his spirit at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's the 9th hour of the day. Signifying that Jesus' work on Calvary was finished. We see 9 generations, watch this, from Adam to Noah. And we see another 9, look at the 9 pillars. We see another 9 generations from Noah to Abraham. And in between the two, we see the flood, because 9 is also symbolic of judgment. And that flood represented the judgment of God's people. And according to Galatians, there are 9 fruit of the Spirit. And according to 1 Corinthians, there are 9 spiritual gifts. And so when you look at these 9 pillars that we're going to be teaching on over time, you can look at them and say, it is finished. It represents the completion, the divine completion of a matter. And as we tap into these 9 pillars, we're going to find a complete love of God. The word of God will complete the matter. The Holy Spirit will complete. The faith will be complete. Prayer and fruit, wisdom, praise and worship, fellowship will all be complete in the body of Christ as we institute these 9 pillars. Amen. So even now, we wanted to make sure that you understood and had the complete understanding of the 9 pillars representing God's judgment on those that aren't going to get it right in this season. That's why the demand to establish on a foundation and build the pillars and be covered by the Holy Spirit is so pertinent right now. Because God's judgment is coming to those that aren't going to do the will of God in their lives. But it represents finality, where when we tap into these 9 pillars, we, like Jesus, can arise to our feet and say, it is finished. Amen. It is finished.
Amen. Wow.
Hallelujah. Somebody say, it is finished. The work on Calvary is finished. And now greater works we shall do. How shall we do it? Through the establishment of these 9 pillars.
We're going to deal with those 9 pillars on next week so that you'll understand. Those 9 pillars are symbolic of 4 walls.
Yes.
In every room in your house, have at least 4 walls to be constructed as a room. And we're going to lay it out for you on next week with these 9 pillars and what they represent. But just lift your hands real quick and worship.
Amen.
And we're going to give.
Hallelujah.
And then we're going to release you.